Dan Fitzgerald, elder of our church here. It's always good to be back, be invited to speak at Curtis. Hey, Eugene, can somebody hit the record? I don't know. I put a CD in there. I don't know if Ray did, but. Good morning. First off, let me lift up some prayer here for a couple people. Lord, we just want to lift this message up to you, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We just give you the honor and glory, Lord, as we study your word today. I want to lift up Virginia Fitzgerald, Lord, who's been really sick with her stomach. Lord, please be with her right now. And be with Tom LaBeouf, who's been struggling with substance abuse and just getting out of the rehab. Lord, we pray that these demons will leave him and he will be healthy and he will be well and whole. Through Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Today we are going to look at a scripture. And Dan gave a message, I think, a week or two ago, and I wanted to kind of piggyback on this after looking at a lot of scriptures. Title of the message is, Can a Christian Lose His Salvation Once He's Saved, Truly Saved? Because there is a difference, you know, the 15 inches where they think they're saved and they're really not saved, but can a true Christian lose his salvation? First off, let's look at what is salvation? Are you hungry for something, not physically, but for something more in life? Is there some things deep inside of you that never seems to be satisfied? The answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never go thirsty. Some people are confused. They never find a path or a purpose in life, and they go through their whole life wanting to know what their purpose in life is. Does it seem someone has turned the lights out, and you can't find the switch to turn it back on? Well, Jesus says in 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, John 8:12. So as we see in this passage, most people that don't have Jesus walk in darkness on a continuous basis. How about being locked out of life? Some people feel that they've been cheated out of life and have tried their whole life to accomplish things, having tried so many doors only to find out that what's behind them is empty and meaningless. Fulfillment, such as pleasures, alcohol, drugs, food, clothes, automobiles. Everybody seems to go about their life looking for meaningless things. As we just saw a week ago, me and Dan spoke at Carl Graves' funeral. He was 50 years old, and his brother was there. And we just learned of that actor's death. I guess it's Philip Seymour Hoffman, who recently died a couple weeks ago. And let's just take him as an example. You know, addiction is addiction, you know. I mean, but unfortunately, people that don't have Christ will seek other things out in life. Obviously, he was a well-known actor. He had plenty of money. He had houses, everything in life, but he did not have Jesus Christ. Are we looking for a fulfilling life? Jesus answers the question. He says, I am the gate, and whoever enters through will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Do we wonder what happens after this life? Now, everybody, whether they're saved or not saved, has been to a funeral. And we all wonder what happens after this short life we live down here. Are we tired of living for things that rot or rust? Now let's legitimately look at that right there. Isn't ultimately that's what's going to happen? I love riding my motorcycle in the summertime and in the fall, but you know what? One day that bike is going to rot and rust. When you go to the auto show, not to discredit that, but those cars will one day rot and rust. And that is the truth behind it. Your possessions one day will rot and rust, and they will have no meaning or no purpose. Do you doubt whether life has any meaning at all? Do you want to live after you die? Well, Jesus is the way and answers that question, whether we want to live after we die. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. Even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. John 11, 25 and 26. Those are some powerful words. I don't know if anybody caught the debate with Ken Ham and Bill Nye last week. That was very, very interesting. You know, they're both brilliant men, but what I liked about Ken Ham, and I was talking to Bethany about this earlier, is he gave the gospel out. That's what I liked about his debate. Were they phenomenal debaters? No. But did he have a chance to give the gospel out? Yes. And then you see Bill Nye trying to discredit creation in the Bible. And I just had to sit back and think, and then he gets offended because creationalism is being brought into the science. And to me, it's abominable. This is funny. This is really, really funny. I would love to debate this guy, but the thing about it is, instead of 2.5 hours of a debate, I could turn it into 1 minute. You want to know how we're going to do that? I'll just say, you get it on television, the shortest debate ever. Really, this is wonderful. The shortest debate ever, me against Bill Nye. He'll say, talk for his 45 minutes, and I'll get my turn, and I'll just say 10 words. 10 words I will say, and the debate will be over. All I would say, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. The debate is over. The debate is over. I just can't fathom how somebody can say that out of nothing created everything. I saw a scripture in Psalms. God said, he that planted the ear, can't he hear? He that made sight, can't he see? The Bible is so credible, it's not even funny. Another guy, Dawkins. I forgot the guy's first name. Lana, do you know that, his name? Somebody know his name? Richard Dawkins. Thank you, my friend, for saying that. Yeah, Richard Dawkins, he's another one. I guess a brilliant genius, but they want nothing to do with that. And then they say they have deep skepticism in the credibility of the Bible. And there's billions of people that actually believe that. They reject the Word of God all the time. Lots of people. But that's why when Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to life, many are called, few are chosen. Jesus says, what is the way? Well, what is the way? What is the truth? What is the life? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Bottom line, no one gets into heaven except through Jesus. And that's the final word on all humanity, life, science, debates, this, that. And that's exactly God's words. The reason that we can't find meaning or purpose in life, the Bible tells us all have sinned, right? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are separated from God. See, our sin separates us from the one who created us. We were created to have a relationship with God, but because of sin, we are separated from God. And if we abide in that sin, when we die, we will die in our sins and be eternally separated from God. So because of sin, we were destined to be eternally separated from God. This is where Jesus Christ comes in. Because God's a holy God and he cannot look upon sin. Sin will not enter into the kingdom of heaven at all. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." He goes over this and over this. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So we just went over that. Is somebody that would die in their sins will be ever lost for eternity. Now, another thing I was looking into is the recent, just the way the unbelievers and the wicked world is going. The recent Grammy Awards, I don't know if anybody ever caught that. I purposely just don't like watching it because I know it's all a bunch of stuff. But, you know, the gay and lesbian marriage that took place, wrecking the minds of our kids today, the mockery of Christ. When I was researching my message today, they were mocking the Lord by having 33 weddings that the one girl pastored over in the years of Jesus Christ. So I recently learned that. And one Christian lady actually got up and walked out of the thing. I mean, over the years, you know, as a musician myself, I mean, I've never seen it this ugly out there in this world, how wicked and how the demons and these Satan-possessed Illuminati that exists out in Hollywood today program the minds of the actors and musicians. One is Katy Perry. Katy Perry comes from evangelist pastors. Her mother and her father are Christians. And she tried to make it a go in the Christian gospel, but that didn't work out. And she got involved with the Illuminati, sold her soul to the devil for fame and fortune, just like it says, because Satan went after Jesus and told him the same thing. If he were to bow down and worship me, he would give him the world. When Jesus says, "What's a profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his own soul?" Well, why would he say something like that? Because we see it exist. When these people sell their souls out and get this world fame and fortune, you know, Satan is the father of all lies. Jesus could never lie, never ever lie. And he tells us blatantly that what these people are doing for their temporary fame and fortune out there. Satan is a liar and the father of all lies, because when they do make their pact with the devil out in California for this world fame and fortune, all the people you hear on the radio and on the television, you know, they're spiritually changed. When they do that, that's what I've researched. They are spiritually changed. Like when a person comes to Christ, he is spiritually born again. But they are born of the spirit of the devil. It's something that they can never get out of when you do that. Well, how can we solve this problem of salvation and being connected with God? Jesus took our sin upon himself, because we are all sinners. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, when Jesus was the perfect lamb, he came to us and was the perfect sacrifice. Unfortunately, this had to happen, but because of sin, taking the punishment that we deserve, Jesus died in our place. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, proving his victory over sin and death. See, that's when we say hallelujah, because of Jesus Christ doing this and proving. He's already proved it for us. Satan, that was the worst day of his life, seeing that. So why did he do this? Jesus answered that himself. This is a great passage in John 5:13. He says, "Greater love has no man but this, that he laid down his life for his friends." They say by one righteous man somebody would do that for, but we were enemies of God. Isn't that something else? I mean, there's no greater love than what he's done, right? I mean, when we're enemies, I mean, we're enemies. I mean, in our life right now, we've got, I'm sure everyone's got somebody they don't like or they would call an enemy. I've always dealt with some people, ex-friends or somebody that's really vicious. Or, you know, you got people that just hate you or mad that you're a Christian or you're not partying anymore. You're not doing what the world's doing, you know. And it's hard because you got that sin nature. Jesus Christ never had that sin nature, but yet we were while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. That's unbelievable. We can never really kind of grasp that idea, why he came out of the splendors of heaven to do this. Jesus died so that we could live. I mean, that's the bottom line right now, folks. I mean, if we think about it, if Jesus didn't do what he would do, we would be eternally separated from God. Like Ray said, I believe, this morning, you know, just with just a thought, he could have just started right over. You know? I mean, but that's not God. He could have started right over and just redone the whole thing, but instead he sent his son down to die for us so that we could live. If we place our faith in Jesus, trusting his death as payment for our sins, all our sins are forgiven and washed away. So back to the question, can a Christian lose their salvation? The answer is no. Why don't we look at what a Christian is? Let's define a Christian. A Christian is a person who has faith, received, and fully trusted in Jesus Christ as the only Savior. We see that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's probably the greatest scripture of the whole Bible right there. So now you're saved. Can you lose it? Well, let's see what the Bible says as we continue on. When we are a Christian, we are a new creation. Let's get that straight. We are a new creation. Anyone in Christ is a new creation, and the old nature is gone and has passed away, and the new nature has become new. A Christian, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you've ever heard about like the old man has passed away, the old man, the old nature. When I got saved, I was, you know, the old Steve Poloni has passed away. The old Bob Skellen has passed away. The old Ray Carpenter has passed away. The new Ray Carpenter has become new. The verse speaks of a person becoming an entirely new creature as a result of what? Being in Christ. It's exactly what it is. For a Christian to lose their salvation, the new creation would have to be canceled or reversed. A Christian is redeemed. If you have your Bibles, I think we read it, but we're going to read it again. If you got your Bibles, please turn to 1 Peter 1. And we're going to look at passages 18 and 19. Let's see. 1 Peter 18 and 19, we're going to read. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. You know what? Excuse me. 1 Peter 18 and 19. And I was reading from 2nd. Excuse me. I'm going to start that again. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So as we see here in the book of Peter, we're redeemed. We are bought with a price. The word redeemed refers to a purchase being made, a price being paid. For a Christian to lose their salvation, God himself would have to revoke his purchase that he paid for with the precious blood of Christ. So it's hard to believe that, you know, when somebody is truly saved, that they think that they can lose that or would want to preach a lordship salvation type of message that you can. We see the Bible refutes all of these accusations. A Christian is justified. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." To justify means to declare righteous. That's exactly what that means. We are declared righteous. If you're saved, you're declared righteous. You're a righteous soul. Hey, Sam, how you doing? Glad you can join us. So we are a righteous soul. All those who receive Jesus as Savior are declared righteous by God. For a Christian to lose salvation, God would have to go back on his word. Right? He would have to go back on his word. God would have to go back on his word and undeclare what he previously declared. Right? He's declaring righteousness, right? But we all know that there's two things that God cannot do. And what are they, Sam?
He cannot lie, Steve.
Let's see. Sam has just answered the first part of the question, right? He cannot lie. So if he's going to give you something, do you think he's going to take it back? A Christian is promised eternal life. Eternal life is a promise of eternity. Forever. In heaven with God. God promises, and he cannot lie. Believe and you will have eternal life. It's that simple. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Now, we're going to get these questions from the naysayers, right? You know, somebody that's going to try to... So I've got a couple of questions to refute what they're going to ask. Some of the most questions about what we have just preached, the objections to the belief that a Christian cannot lose their salvation. One, if they say, well, what about those who are Christians and continually live an immoral lifestyle? Or what about one who rejects the faith and denies Christ and walks away? These are some pretty good questions, aren't they? You know? Well, I like a good debate, Sam. I really do. You know why? Because we're going to go by what the Bible says about these questions. Not me. I'm just the Western Union boy delivering the message or the mail, basically. But yeah, so we look at what the Word of God says. Problem is, who are Christians? That's what it gets back to. The Bible says a true Christian will not live a continually immoral lifestyle. John, 1 John 3:6 says, listen to this. If you got your Bibles, you can even go to it. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. You know, a lot of people we see today, you know, claim to be Christians and think that they know him and don't. The Bible says anyone who departs the faith is demonstrating that they never truly were a Christian. They never really truly were a Christian. They went out. 1 John 2:19 says they went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. So, what the Bible says is they never really were a Christian at all. You know, I see a lot of these, and I want to give a message on Matthew 7:22. With my research and some of the stuff I've already looked into, it's just amazing to me how many people that we've just read, preachers, televangelists, people that are proclaiming the Word of God. I had a talk with a buddy a couple weeks ago, and, you know, they're not selling books on the devil and being multimillionaires, but when it comes to God, they're selling multimillion dollar books and packing churches and driving yachts and boats and million-dollar mansions, though. You know, you think about that. They're making multi-millions off of not the devil, but the Lord. You know, and I'm not trying to judge a lot of these preachers, but, you know, you've got to question it, you know. I mean, Joyce Myers, Joel Osteen, the thing about their messages is you never hear them talk about sin or you never hear them talk about hell. Because let me tell you something, if they started talking about that stuff, the doors would be flying open to get out of there. Right? You know, it's just sad to say that. And that's really, it's horrifying. Actually, it's horrifying. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Well, you see him on television all the time, you know. Give money, praise the Lord, you know. Jesus saves. Haven't we cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? See, these people were never truly saved. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Well, see, when Jesus says, I never knew you, it means exactly what he says. He never knew you. When you're a born-again Christian, you either know Jesus Christ or you don't know Jesus Christ. There's no middle. There's no there's no middle ground. There's no sitting on the fence. It's either you're for him or you're against him. It's real simple. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, wickedness. I see that all the time. You know, when Ken Hampton gave a message, and it was really interesting, he said he went to see a play with some actor memorizing the entire book of Mark by heart. I mean, come on. You guys got your Bibles? Just let me just take a quick glance at this here. I'm going to see what this guy's doing. Mark. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, 15. Oh, wow. Now, how is that? This guy went up there and memorized the whole book of Mark. Man, I must have took him a long time to do that, but Ken was so blown away, he went backstage to ask him about his testimony. And the guy says, I don't have a testimony. He goes, I'm here for the money. He goes, you know, I'm not saved. I don't have a testimony. He goes, I'm an actor. You know, totally correct. Totally correct. You know, when Jesus says, you know, you'll know them by their fruits. You will know them. You know, you've got to be a discerner of the Spirit. Many false prophets will come in his name. No doubt about it. And if possible, to deceive even the elect. You know, it's something when you would see something like that, you would never think that, though. That he's just an actor and he never was saved, but you would think that he was saved. And that's why these false prophets out there, we must be careful. I read this little verse. This is pretty interesting. A little boy was at a revival meeting, and the pastor was preaching on John 5:24 on the way home. 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now this little boy heard this, and the devil began whispering to him on the way home. He goes, you don't really believe that, do you? You don't really believe that Jesus Christ came down from heaven? You don't believe you're a sinner, do you? You're not a sinner. No. Well, the preacher says, I am a sinner, and if I don't believe on Jesus Christ, I'm not saved. The little boy, the devil began to whisper him, saying, you're not saved. You don't believe that. You don't deserve that. So now he's putting doubt in my in the kid's mind, as the devil put doubt in Eve's mind when she took of the forbidden fruit of the garden. So now this little kid who believed everything he heard at this revival meeting about sin and being saved and hearing the word was sitting by himself with the devil whispering in his ear, and all of a sudden he came and sat down and remembered the verse, verily, verily. Okay, verily, verily means truly, truly. It would be another word for that. Then he thought, Jesus says, he that heareth his word. And then the kid said, well, I heard his word. He heard his word as it was given out here. He heard it. That's why, right? He that heareth his word. And he says, and believeth on him that sent me. And then he says, I believe, has everlasting life. I have everlasting life. The word says so. So this kid was saved at that moment. 1 John 5:13 will back this up. 1 John, but upon hearing this word, 5:13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So, he's writing this, that you know and that you're secure in the Word of God, that these things I've written to you, that you may know that you have eternal life, that nobody can take it away from you. So as we read this passage, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you're saved, and you can't lose that. What a blessing. What comfort. You know, I'm going to close with just a couple more passages. We'll get out a little early, but I just wanted to read these scriptures. If you got your Bibles, Romans 8. This is a great passage. Romans 8, 38, 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." What a wonderful, wonderful passage of assurance. To know when we die, there's nothing that can separate us from going to heaven with Jesus Christ. Right, Bob? In Psalms it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the..." You're lost for words all of a sudden. "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints." Right? Yep. And the other one is John 10. John 10. Yep, John 10, 28 says, "And I give them eternal life that they shall never perish." Oh, man, that's great. Isn't that wonderful? "That they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Oh, and you know that they're trying to snatch us out of his hand. You know that, like angry wolves on a daily basis. "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Comforting words. And I pray that we all abide by them, have comfort in Jesus Christ, and have that assurance, that blessed assurance. That's a great song to go by, is that assurance, that blessed assurance that we have. And we give God all the glory. And amen. Father, we just close this meeting now, Lord. We thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for the Bible today, Lord. It's pure. You say your word is pure, infallible. And Lord, as believers, we just want to go out there with the assurance that we have in Christ Jesus. We thank him for all he does for us, Lord. Bring us back tonight, Lord. We just thank you for all you do and the truth that you give us. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you for them three things, Lord. The way, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And we thank you for him, Lord, and all he does for us and giving us this truth. And we pray for the lost out there, Lord. We pray for people like Bill Nye and Katy Perry that have lost their way. We pray that they the Holy Spirit enters them, Lord, and they realize that this life is temporary, Lord, and judgment is around the corner for all of them, and they need to get right with you before it's too late. And we pray for those people, Lord, that are lost out there, Lord, in this world. And we thank you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.